over 6 months, we are coming to the last sermon on Acts of the Apostle. Can we give ourselves a good cheer? We have traveled with the apostles, you know, and how many of us have been blessed by the whole series? And you feel that your faith has grown. You feel that there's a rising of faith, the new challenges, a new depth of knowing Jesus Christ and knowing the gospel and knowing that God is always a good God. By this time, we look at Acts 28, we're going to look at Acts 15 and all the following verses. We begin to realize that Jesus told his disciple in chapter 1 that you shall be my, what? Witnesses, right? Not just in Jerusalem, but you're going to travel to Judea, Samaria, to the very ends of the world. And finally, Paul, so-called, in his time, he's coming to the end of the world of the Roman Empire. But you also know God's heart to working through Paul. Paul says that I need to go to another place called Spain. And this is something that is always rumored that Paul finally make it to Spain. And this is where Paul, after going through his trials, after facing the Jewish crowd and so-called the Sanhedrin, then Felix and Festus and King Agrippa, finally he appealed to Caesar and he went on a long road trip, or rather a sea voyage, and went through lots of storm. If you look at Paul's life, where he is in chapter 28, you can't believe who he was in chapter 8. Right? He was not cut out for ministry. He was a persecutor. He went around so-called arresting believers and putting them in prison, and he always had a letter of authority to go anywhere he wants, so-called to arrest Christians, and he called himself a murderer because I think he's not just a persecutor, but he also put believers to death, like a person called Stephen. And this is important for us as believers that finally we can bear in mind that the gospel is unstoppable, and God uses all kinds of people, and Paul is one of those people. Sometimes we look at Paul as a great apostle, not remembering how he started. So all of us have a chance to be used by God. Amen? Tell your neighbor, you have a chance. God can use you. Right? And it's important. But we also can learn that we are not immune to trials, or are we impervious to hardship and pain. Just because we follow Jesus Christ doesn't mean our life is always going to be smooth sailing. But can I tell you, people, when you are with the Lord, if you learn to pursue God and let Him lead, no matter your circumstances or your situation, you are always standing on holy ground. Because if you are walking the path God has set you to walk, and because you are listening to Him, this path, this moment, you are on holy ground. Amen. Sometimes we look at our situation, we look at our circumstances, and we think that where is God when we are going through such tough time? But God is saying to us, if we trust in His leading, and as we pursue after Him, we must let God complete the journey He begins in us. And that's important. Too often we let life, or sometimes we even let the enemy, use the circumstances to discourage our faith. Can I tell you, the enemy runs on a budget, but God is without limit. The enemy can do a few things to discourage us. One is intimidation. Intimidation means you just have to frighten the person. You don't have to do anything. You just have to just threaten the person. The person would not dare to do anything. And often, how many of us as believers let the enemy threaten us? The enemy did not have to do anything. So he ran on a very tight budget. As long as we so-called receive or believe in the intimidation, the enemy, so-called, seems to have won the day. But if we trust God, the God that we believe, who is without limit, even where there's a pushback in our life, but when we dare to pursue where God is calling us to pursue after Him, we are always on holy ground. But sometimes believers, we often think that, oh, how I wish, you know, I can be like the disciples. I can go out with Jesus up to the mountain, and there I could see visions and wonders and all this and that. It's important to have visions and wonder signs and all this and stuff. But let me tell you guys, as believers today, we no longer need to seek mountaintop experiences. You know why? We are already hidden in Christ. There's no need to go and look for another experience in that sense. but keep on experiencing Jesus again and again in a fresh new way. He's not pursuing God that I need to go up to a mountain experienced, but it is always known that no matter what situation I'm in, I am in Christ, Christ is in me. And there's no better place to be because now I'm hidden in Christ. I do not look at my life by the circumstances I'm in, but I'm looking at my life because I'm standing on holy ground. And that's why Paul says to all his people when he wrote letters, his famous prison letters, when he's in Rome, he wrote letters to the Ephesians, to the Philippians, to the Colossians. What did he say? I'm a prisoner of Christ. He never said at one time he's a prisoner of Caesar or he's a prisoner of Rome. Sometimes we can say, I'm a prisoner of my circumstances, I'm a prisoner of my situation. But can we not learn to say, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ? Because I'm hidden in Him. Where He wants me to be bound to Him, I'm bound to Him for all time. But knowing that He who has called me is faithful and He will see me through. Let us look at Acts chapter 28:11 and onwards it says, after 3 months, we set sail in a ship and had wintered in the island, a ship of Alexandria, with the twin gods as a figurehead. Putting in at Syracuse, we stayed there for 3 days, and from there we made a circuit and arrived at Regium. And after one day, a south wind sprang up, and on the second day, we came to Bithyole. There we found brothers and were invited to stay with them for 7 days. And so we came to Rome, and the brothers there, when they heard about us, came as far as the Forum of Appius and 3 taverns to meet us. On seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. And when we came into Rome, Paul was allowed to stay by himself with a soldier who guarded him. Today's sermon is about faithful to the end. We all need to finish well in a Christian life. How many of us want to finish well? To finish well means we must learn how to run the race well. It's to be in momentum with the Lord Jesus Christ all the time. And of course, there is going to be a cause trying to stay faithful. For Paul, what happened was this. People were up against him. They tried to stop him. They tried to destroy his reputation. You see, brothers and sisters in Christ, people can take away your business card, but they can never take away your calling card. People can go around smearing your name because of your faith in Jesus Christ, but if you trust the Lord, they can take away your business card, but they can never take your calling card. Amen? And here was Paul. Now, Luke tells us there were believers everywhere. Paul did not plant the church in Rome, but when he was moving closer to Rome, he found believers, and believers came and hosted him, take care of him, and Paul was truly encouraged. He says here, on seeing them, Paul thanked God and took courage. I think this is something we must learn. Everywhere we go, whether in the workplaces or in our campuses, always look for believers and connect with them. Not to become a holy harder, please. Don't become your own subculture that, oh, we are the persecuted one or we are just the good bunch in the whole department. Don't do that. But come together to encourage each other and then begin to ask God how He wants to use you guys to change the spiritual atmosphere of your workplace or your campuses or your surrounding. Always look for believers to do that. And this is what Paul did everywhere he went. He looks for believers. And then he went to this place called the Forum of Appius, which was a marketplace along the Appian Way. And these are historical sites that still exist today. So Paul was walking past. So soon? Deja vu? Let's start again. This afternoon sermon is on faithful to the end. And the end came sooner than I expected. So the Forum of Appius was a marketplace on the way to Appian Way, and they still exist today. And the 3 taverns was famous. What is it called? 3 taverns. One was a general store, one was a restaurant, and the 3rd one was a blacksmith. So those days, people travel on horses, would put the horse on the blacksmith to change shoes, and go to buy their groceries. Then they have like primitive woolies or coats there, and then they have go to a nice restaurant. So the 3 taverns was known as that. And being Roman citizen, Paul did not have to be in prison. He could actually rent his own place. Not bad, right? If you are own Roman citizen, you don't actually be in the rest of the dungeon, but you are here in owning your own place, and there is a security guard watching you, and he's awaiting to be appealed to Caesar. So Paul, during his time, he says in Philippians 1:13, he says how during his time that he was able to convert all the palace guard. They all took turns to take care of him, but he took turns to bring them all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this Paul is something that we all can learn from him, is that witnessing, sharing the faith, was a lifestyle as well as a habit. He did not let circumstances to talk himself out. He did not let his situation say, I'm in prison, I don't want to do all this Christian stuff. But no matter where he was, he has developed this habit and a lifestyle to shine for Jesus Christ. And so even in chains, Paul continued to spread the gospel. How about us? Years ago, I came across a Chinese pastor who went to prison for 40 years in China, and because of his faith. And after 40 years, he came out from prison. He didn't even know where his family members were, don't have a contact number, do not know the address. But the first thing he came out of prison, he asked himself, do I still have it in me to share the gospel? After 40 years, the first question he asked as a free man, do I have still in me to share the gospel? And across the street, he saw a lady selling cigarettes. He said, let me try it out. He went to the lady, and 10 minutes later, both of them was kneeling as the lady gave her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your season may be, ask yourself, do I still have it in me to shine for Jesus Christ? Verse 17 says, after 3 days, he called together the local leaders of the Jews, and when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hands of the Romans. When they had examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for the death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you and speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. This is Paul, classic. Everywhere he goes, the first people he looks for is his fellow Jews. And now he says that, well, he gathered all the leaders in Rome, the Jewish leaders, and he began to explain to them why he was in Rome, why he has appealed to Caesar, because there was a death threat, but he was found innocent. He could have been let off, but he decided he needed to appeal to the highest authority in the land so that he can testify the gospel to the very ends of the world. And what happened was this. In verse 21, it says, and they say to him, we have received no letters from Judea again about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you. But we desire to hear from you what your views are, for with regard to this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. So here Paul was testifying to his fellow Jews the situation why he was in Rome. But none of them have actually heard anything about what he has done. They did not receive a letter. And this letter was important because remember, when Paul was on the way to Damascus, he needed a letter from the chief priest to go and arrest all the believers. Now he was thinking whether there was a letter, a so-called a death warrant for him. He was in the blacklist. He was in the number one wanted person. But Paul was smart. He wanted to bring the gospel. And so there was a day he called the Jewish leader. And this reminds me of a great missionary called E. Stanley Jones from India. And E. Stanley Jones, this one guy I must admire, he could preach 500 sermons just from one verse, John 3:16. In fact, you can buy his book, 500 Sermons, different content just from John 3:16. And E. Stanley Jones was known as a great Indian evangelist. You know how he did it? He did not just stand by the street to preach the gospel. He always go to a town or to a village. First thing he does, he book a church hall or city hall. And then he will invite a Muslim Iban, a Hindu priest, a well-known atheist, and a politician to come and give a speech. And the title of his meeting is always, "This is what I believe." And of course, the first person get invited is the Iman, then the Hindu priest, then the atheist, then the politician. And everyone gave their speech. He came and said, "This is what I believe, John 3:16." And then people will give his life. So, and this is how he successfully, so-called, brought thousands and thousands to the Lord Jesus Christ. This was his strategy. He did it in the 1930s, 40s, the 50s. Today it sounds very strange, but strategy. Every one of us, when we learn to shine for Jesus Christ, God will give us a strategy. Amen? And we just trust God with a strategy. And then he tells us to change strategy, but we trust him. And so what happened was this. When they had appointed a day for him, they came to him at his lodging in greater numbers. So Paul now cannot go to the synagogue. Now the whole synagogue has come to his house. So imagine Paul's house must be quite big. So everyone come here. And from morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about God, about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. What Paul did was to open up the very scripture all Jews would have known and understood. They were taught from young. But instead of opening up the Bible to teach them more laws, Paul opened up scripture to reveal Jesus Christ to them, the hope of Israel. And as they begin to hear him, he says in verse 24, some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And then verse 25 went on, and disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to these people and say, you will indeed hear but never understand, and you will indeed see but never perceive. Here Paul was quoting the great prophet Isaiah. Do you know when Isaiah was caught 800 years earlier before Paul's time, he was given an impossible task to bring Israel into repentance. But when he presented himself to the calling before God, when he was in the temple, remember in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, he saw the angels, he saw the cherubim and seraphim, and God said, who will go? And he said, here I am. And the Lord says, okay, you are going to go. And he took a coal and touched his tongue to so-called purify Isaiah's speech. But then come the downer. Isaiah, no one is going to hear your preaching. Imagine you're called to be a preacher, and the next moment God told you, but no one's going to hear your preaching. It is true. If you look at Isaiah's life, none actually really listened to his prophecy, and it's only 800 years later, Isaiah became a well-loved prophet in Paul's time. Until today, right, and then Christmas, we will quote Isaiah, right? Chapter 9 and all. And Christmas, I mean, Easter, we will quote from Isaiah 53. Isaiah is the most well-quoted Old Testament prophet throughout the New Testament. And Paul is the one who often quoted Isaiah. And incidentally, Isaiah is my favorite book. Lots of revelation about Jesus Christ, about our relationship. But here was Paul opening their minds to Scripture, acknowledging the truth of what the Holy Spirit spoke through Isaiah, the prophet, to their fathers. Though Isaiah was the one saying these words, it was through the Holy Spirit saying to them. And what was the word? Verse 27 says, for these people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed. Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart. And turn, and I will heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to Gentiles. They will listen. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed, having this much dispute among themselves. Imagining for a moment when you read the word of God, the word of God talks about you directly. And this is what Paul was trying to say. Isaiah was talking about you guys. You guys, your heart has grown dull. Your ears can barely hear. Your eyes has closed. You are not stirred by the very thing the Word of God is saying to you. Because when Jesus read Isaiah 61, he can quote to his people, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me," right? To preach the good news. Jesus found himself in the Word of God. How about us? Can we not find ourselves the very word that describes our purpose and our destiny? And this is why Paul was saying to his own people that you guys have rejected the message given to them, just like Isaiah told his own generation. Your eyes can see, but cannot perceive. Your ears can hear, but cannot receive. And just like the man of Isaiah's day, Paul's contemporary has grown dull, unable to respond to God's truth. Their ears were hard of hearing, not taking in the truth Paul had taught them from God. How about us? I hope none of us, being seated under the gospel of Jesus Christ, can ever let our hearts grow dull, our hearing grow dull, our eyes grow dull. But we must always get excited about what the gospel says about us. Amen? It's important. You know, sometimes a lot of things in our Christian life that we look at, we sing about the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, we talk about how much he had died for us, and yet sometimes we can be very cold and switch off towards the things of God. But not for us, when we know ourselves, when we know who we are in Christ. Because here, Paul says this very clearly, that if they really open their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart, they will be healed. Sin is not a crime to be punished, but sin is a sickness that God wants to heal us. That's why Jesus said, "I did not come," right, "to destroy, but to make whole. Those who are unwell see a physician. I come to give them life and life to the full." And this is important for us as believers today, that we come to hear the gospel. It is for us to be healed. Amen? It is for us to be restored and be made whole. And then this is what we begin to understand. When people hear the gospel, you can only make two decisions. Either you are going to be for God, or you can be like those Jewish leaders who end up in dispute and walk away. And I like the closing of Acts in verse 30. It says, "He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense and welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance." Everyone says, with all boldness and without hindrance. How many of us want to live such a kind of life that we can shine for Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance? Because Paul has set himself to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, that when his whole life, he make it a daily habit that Jesus takes first priority and it influences how he functions. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Christ fills all of us. But sometimes we can function as if Christ doesn't exist. If Jesus is not in the center of it all, something else is. And that something else can never fill the gap that only God can fill. We all can have Christ in us, and we all should have Christ in us. But we may not have a lifestyle or a habit that reflect and reveal Christ is indeed in you. And that is why in all our life assignment, in all our journey to where we go through, God has only one purpose in his will, that we become more and more and more like Jesus Christ. That is our gift to each other. And that is our blessing to our community. And that is the legacy we leave behind. Not our wealth, not our reputation, not our fame, but we become more and more like Jesus through all our assignment. Amen? You know, sometimes when we call people to serve, We fall into the habit of just looking for people with gifts and talents. That's true, isn't it? But I think, church, we need to go a bit up a notch. But gifting and talent helps. But what really helps, I tell you, is people serve as sons and daughters. But sometimes we go by sometimes the measurement. Does a person have gifting? Does a person have talents? I know in first, like certain things you really need talent, like able to play the keyboard. Thanks, Josh. And singing. Thanks, Cheryl. Right, some of you, God looks at you as sons and daughters. Serve in other ministry. Now, the thing is this. Some things need gifting, like technical stuff, sound system, PowerPoint, very important, right? You know, able to play the keyboard, able to carry a tune. But I can tell you, it goes beyond just gifting. It's about us serving as sons and daughters. And this is what we must learn from Paul. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. He lived like a son to the Father. In waiting for his trial for Nero, Paul entered into a fruitful season of writing his most important letters. We call them the prison letters, like Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, and Philemon. And clues told us, actually, he was set free after 2 years. I believe, actually, after 2 years, why he say, Luke say he preached with boldness and boldness actually in Bible means freely and without hindrance, because none of his detractors actually make it to Rome to testify against him. Because to appear before Caesar, all his detractors must come and present themselves, and none of them came. And so Paul was let go, and 1 week later, he landed in Spain. But of course, a few years later, he came back in Rome, and then he died a martyr's death. I believe Paul actually made it in the end to Spain to preach the gospel, because to him, Spain at that time was the end of the world. The gospel must reach the end. What then can we learn from this whole series? For me, is to learn to give my life again and again, to pursue the only one thing that's worth pursuing, and that's Jesus Christ. To pursue Jesus Christ doesn't demand us to be perfect, but to pursue Jesus Christ talks about us able to surrender ourselves to Him and to serve Him. Sometimes we find it hard to serve God because we say, no, I don't have the gift or the talent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let me just lay it straight. God don't need your strength. He has all of it. God needs your weakness because He has none. And God is not asking us to be perfect, to do something for Him, but He's inviting us to do something with Him. Acts of the Apostles is the only book that's still being written. It did not end in chapter 28. I believe there's chapter 29, there's chapter 30, chapter 40. In fact, we are the 70th generation of believers since the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. My prayer for all of us is this, as being so-called the last sermon of Acts of the Apostle, is that we may be found faithful to the end. Let us pray. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for this journey that we have started. We thank you for the deposit of faith from the saints of old, that, Lord, these are not stories just to tickle our ears. But these are stories that stir us from faith to faith. And I pray right now in Jesus' name for all of us here take away the dullness of our heart. Open our eyes that we may be enlightened, that we may see Jesus afresh. Open our ears that we may hear and understand everything. We have a heart that yearns to know the Father. And Lord, I hold on to your promises with my brothers and sisters. That when we know the gospel, that when we receive the gospel, you say you will come and heal us. So Father, I just pray right now for whoever needs healing, that only the gospel can bring that healing. Heal us in Jesus' name. Heal us right now. Minister that grace. Take away the unbelief. Take away the doubts. Take away the fear. Because the gospel is a gospel of grace. That we do not need to qualify ourselves, but simply come boldly and receive it. Receive the gospel afresh and not be ashamed of it. For in it is the power of God to save. Let us rise at this time and let us just offer to God one more time. Like what God did for Paul, He will do for us. That we can walk and live, proclaiming the kingdom and sharing the truth of Jesus Christ with all boldness and without hindrance. And let us be honest, how many of us need boldness? I need it. I need boldness. And how many of us need to overcome the hindrances that keeps us from being that son and daughter of God? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, we come as who we are. We have nothing to offer, Lord, but you have everything to give us. And Lord, I'm so grateful for your word, because you say you are never ashamed of us. Even though sometimes, Father, we just mess up again and again, and yet your word assures us you can never be disappointed with us. You can never be ashamed of us. Because you who began a good work in us will see the completion. So I pray that, Lord, continue to complete us in Jesus' name. Be the glory and lifter of our heads, that we may rejoice and be glad. Because you who called us, you are faithful to the end. Amen.